So first of all, I want to thank you for coming out. I know it's Easter, so I was really pleasantly surprised to see so many people here today. Thought it was going to be like a skeleton crew. I often have a little difficulty titling my talks. Someone suggested that I title this talk, "Is the Grass Really Greener?" Is the grass really greener? The koan is an expression of Buddha nature at a particular time and place in particular circumstances. Although different individuals appear in the stories and the action and expression of the individuals are different, it is Buddha nature that we are talking about. One koan in the movement con, case 45, is called Hoan's Who Is He? One day, Master Hoan of Tozan said, "Shakyamuni and Maitreya are but his servants. Now tell me, who is he? Who is that one? Or who is this? Who is it? Who is she? What is it?" Ask yourself, who is it that I serve? And at what cost? Consider dissatisfaction as one symptom of the malady of modern life. People who live the most privileged lives, who have abundant wealth, good health, loving family, and friends, can be prey nonetheless to chronic low-grade dissatisfaction in the midst of this abundance. So who are they serving? Whatever measure of the good life we seek or have obtained, well-to-do folks, folks in the middle, folks at the bottom, we all serve the same deity, ego. An interesting metaphor used in Tibetan Buddhism describes the functioning of ego as that of the three lords of materialism, the lord of form, the lord of speech, and the lord of mind. The lord of form refers to the neurotic pursuit of physical comfort, security, and pleasure. The lord of speech refers to the use of intellect in relating to our world. It is the inclination on the part of the ego to interpret anything that is threatening or irritating in such a way as to neutralize the threat or turn it into something positive from ego's point of view. And let that sink in for a minute. The Lord of Mind refers to the effort of consciousness to maintain awareness of itself. It rules when we use spiritual and psychological disciplines as the means of maintaining our self-consciousness, of holding on to our sense of self. Choyam Trungpa Rinpoche, in his book, The Myth of Freedom, points out that drugs, yoga, even prayer, meditation, trances, and various psychotherapies can be used in this way. As long as we serve these laws, lords, we will never be liberated. Uchiyama Roshi says, the knowledge to develop our standard of living, which is the wisdom of modern scientific and technological civilization, was born in a matrix of dissatisfaction. He goes on to say that dissatisfaction is the mother of invention and progress. This is why no matter how much scientific or technological progress is made, people, or we, will never be satisfied. As long as we walk along the path shouldering the bag of desire and dissatisfaction, every time we open that bag, even hundreds or thousands of years from now, people will always be pulling out their dissatisfaction along with new ideas. Let me tell you a story, and most of you know I love stories. So let me tell you a story illustrating my point. There was once a stone cutter who was dissatisfied with himself and with his position in life. One day he passed a wealthy merchant's house. Through the open gateway, he saw many fine possessions and important visitors. How powerful that merchant must be, thought the stonecutter. He became very envious and wished that he could be like the merchant. To his great surprise, he suddenly became the merchant, enjoying more luxury and power than he had ever imagined. But envied and detested by those less wealthy than himself. Soon a high official passed by, carried in a sedan chair, accompanied by attendants and escorted by soldiers beating gongs. Everyone, no matter how wealthy, had to bow low before the procession. How powerful that official is, he thought. I wish that I could be a high official. Then he became the high official, carried everywhere in his embroidered sedan chair, feared and hated by the people all around. It was a hot summer day, so the official felt very uncomfortable in the sticky sedan chair. He looked up at the sun. It shone proudly in the sky, unaffected by his presence. How powerful the sun is, he thought. I wish I could be the sun. Then he became the sun, shining fiercely down on everyone, scorching the fields, cursed by the farmers and laborers. But a huge black cloud moved between him and the earth, so that his light could no longer shine on everything below. How powerful that storm cloud is, he thought. I wish that I could be a cloud. Then he became the cloud, flooding the fields and villages, shouted at by everyone. But soon he found that he was being pushed away by some great force and realized that it was the wind. How powerful it is, he thought. I wish that I could be the wind. Then he became the wind, blowing tiles off the roofs of houses, uprooting trees, feared and hated by all below him. But after a while, he ran up against something that would not move, no matter how forcefully he blew against it. A huge, towering rock. How powerful that rock is, he thought. I wish I could be a rock. Then he became the rock, more powerful than anything else on earth. But as he stood there, he heard the sound of a hammer pounding a chisel into the hard surface and felt himself being changed. What could be more powerful than I? the rock, he thought. He looked down and saw far below him the figure of a stone cutter. So you see, the stone cutter story reflects the nature of ego. It jumps from one desire to the next, never satisfied. Thus, we never rest content with how things really are. We never grasp the whole. Let us look at the third sentence of Dogen Zenji's Jinjo Koan. He writes, "Since the Buddha way by nature goes beyond the dichotomy of abundance and deficiency, there is arising and perishing, delusion and realization, living beings and Buddhas." Now, we usually think of abundance as positive and deficiency, perishing, delusion, and living beings as negative. We also think of satisfaction as positive and dissatisfaction as negative. If we understand Buddha's teaching this way, it seems that we should escape from samsara, you know, suffering, dissatisfaction, which is something bad, in order to reach nirvana, which is something good. By the same token, we should strive to be satisfied as opposed to becoming dissatisfied. I got news for you. This kind of strategy doesn't work. If we accept the common understanding of the teachings that since ignorance turns the lives of deluded beings into suffering, we should eliminate our ignorance so we can reach nirvana, we will find that it's impossible to do. The bottom line is that this behavior creates another cycle of samsara. This happens because the desire to become free from delusion is one of the causes of delusion. There is no nirvana, no satisfaction that exists separate from samsara or separate from dissatisfaction. Dogen's statement points to experiencing life beyond discrimination and denial of discrimination. You get that? Beyond that. If we don't find nirvana within samsara, there is no place we can find nirvana. If we don't find peacefulness within our busy lives, there is no place we can find peacefulness. This is why the Heart Sutra negates the Buddha's teaching. It attempts to release us from dichotomies created in our thought. So who is it that the Buddha and Maitreya serve? It is the same it that we should serve. Mu, Buddha nature. How do we do that? We just practice right now, right here, without any agenda. With this kind of practice, nirvana, peace, satisfaction is already here. Of course, when we practice in this way, samsara, dissatisfaction, is still here too. Okamura Roshi says that when we just open the hand of thought and face whatever we are facing, we can truly find peace. We don't need to escape and go somewhere else. And I add that we don't need to seek satisfaction in the acquisition of things. We just live right now, right here, with mindfulness. And in doing so, we drop the relativistic other standing against it.
Thank you, Chen Bing. Wow.